The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Those of you who are watching via YouTube and Facebook, we're glad to have you with us today. This is a wonderful day. It's a heavenly day. Yes. We're going to continue the series we started last week about heaven. All right?
All right.
All right. So we want to be so heavenly minded we're no earthly good.
Amen.
That's what I want to be. All right? Who needs this old world when we have Jesus, huh?
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
All right.
Yes.
Just got a text from Lonnie. Her and Don are still contagious. They won't be here. I got another text from Janine asking for prayer. Her mother, she just had to take her mother to the hospital.
Oh, okay. So we got some COVID folks going out there. Man, I thought that thing was all over with.
And Janine's mother. I don't know what's wrong with her.
Who?
Okay.
Janine's mother.
Okay, yeah. Well, let's pray and we'll get started. Father, in the name of Jesus the Lord, how great you are, Lord. Thank you for all the precious promises that are yes and amen in you. Thank you, Lord, that we can enter your gates with thanksgiving in our hearts and enter your courts with praise. Father, let your presence be manifest here today, that you might touch us with your divine presence. Pray for the Bobby and Don, that you continue their healing. Be with Janine's mom, Lord, whatever's going on there. Pray for Rose's brother who's in the hospital. Lord, and all those who are not doing well. You are the great physician, the great healer. And we speak words of faith from this place to wherever they are, that you might touch them and make them well. Father, we love you. We praise you. We worship you. In the wonderful name of Jesus. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Ready to worship the Lord?
Amen.
Brother Rome, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm on the battle.
Let the fire of the Holy One burn in me.
Oh, All my hope in you, Lord Jesus.
Oh,
and a song of praise. We come to you, gathered in this place, for the things you've done and for who you are. We worship you with a thankful heart. Say it again. With a thankful heart and a song of praise, we come to you, gathered in this place, for the things you've done and for who you are. We worship you.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You're so good to us, Lord. Every day, every night.
Hallelujah.
We lay our heads on the pillow, and you watch over us during the night hours, and then we awake, and you're still with us. Lord, wherever we go, to the highest heights or the lowest steps, you're always there, loving and caring, your eye upon us. We thank you, Father. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. How we thank you. Lord, we've been singing this morning about the blood. Thank you for the blood, Lord. Without the blood, there is no remission of sins, Lord. Without the blood, we are hopeless, Lord. Without the blood, we're still in our sins. But thank you. Thank you that your only begotten Son gave his life. Jesus gave his life. No one took it from him. He shed his blood on Calvary's tree to remove our sins, to cleanse us, as Isaiah said. Let us come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, have your white as snow. Though they're like lamb's wool, they'll be refreshing and white and whole because of you and what Jesus did. Thank you, Lord, that there is no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. Thank you, Lord. We rejoice in you today. Lord, not only today, for all of our lives, but through all eternity. We praise you and we thank you, Father. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. You're able to sing it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
May I speak this word?
Amen. Man, let me give you a microphone. Yeah. There you go. Why don't you come up here and tell us what
you did? Hallelujah. I'm on fire.
Hallelujah.
Burning. I love the scripture where it says he's a consuming fire. And then, you know, that means and it says he consumes us.
Yes.
But he consumes us into himself.
Yes.
Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
Doesn't consume us and then we're no more. He consumes us into himself. Isn't that awesome? Just wanted to speak this word this morning that we give thanks unto the Father.
Yes.
Who has delivered us from the power of darkness.
Yes.
And has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ms. Pat. Hallelujah. Good word.
Amen.
Good word. Amen. Glory,
thank
glory,
you,
glory.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, I've said this before, but I'm going to go ahead and say it again. And it's not like it when you sing, buddy. I just love that voice. It's just so unusual and so... I don't know, just something on the inside of the body. I don't know. You know, orchestra leader, we could get him singing some more. That'd be good. We don't want him to replace you. We just like to hear him sing more frequently. I just love it. So everybody else always sounds the same kind of, but I guess I've been watching too much American Idol. I always think he's got odd voice, a little different. And he's got it. Well, you know what it is? It's the Spirit of God in you.
Just
comes
out.
Yeah, no, just sense it. I was reminded this morning that Erin is having surgery this week, and she's not here because she's doesn't want to come and get infected. She thinks we're infectious. We are infectious with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. But that's where Erin is, so we need to pray for her. And is Joe still in the hospital?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay, is he doing better?
But yeah, he's doing a little better.
All right,
yes.
Good. Bobby
she's
fighting the COVID, and Don's fighting COVID, and I don't know. I'm tired of COVID. I want to go back to where we can get colds and flu.
Yeah.
So let's pray for them about these things. Father, in Jesus' wonderful name, you said that we could come to you in prayer, and that whatever we'd ask in the name of Jesus, in agreement, it'd be done. And we pray for these that are sick, Lord, and others that we're not even mentioning, Lord, who are suffering today and fighting the battle. But we know that you are the victory. In Jesus alone, we have victory over sickness, death, hell, and the grave. And so, Father, I pray for all these who need you, that you would manifest yourself to wherever they may be, that you would touch their bodies and make them completely whole. And Lord, as Aaron goes into the surgery Tuesday, we pray that the doctors and nurses and medicine and all those things will work the way they're designed to work, for her good and for your glory. And Father, this is our prayer. We join together in one accord. In Jesus' precious name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Miss Sherry's got something she wants to share with us, so I won't be able to share it. With the speed of lightning. There we go.
My lightning's been popped. First of all, I want to read a piece of scripture. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And I'm going to stop there a minute. I'll tell you a bit about what's happened to me since December. In December, my bank account was cleared out. All my funds were stolen to the extent I owed the bank almost $700.
Oh.
In January, a rat chewed through my hot water pipes and flooded my ceiling twice.
Oh.
Since December, I have not worked a full check, averaging 3 days a paycheck.
Oh.
And the list goes on. My dad died. My brother got hit by a car and almost lost his hand. And I'm thinking, as a human, how am I going to handle all this? I had some good Samaritans loan me money to get me through to my next paycheck. And they didn't ask for the money back on a time frame. My insurance paid for the damage done by the water that flooded. I had some other good Samaritans come in and repair walls and paint for me without a charge. My niece fell through my attic, and I had some other good Samaritans come in and fix it for just a little over the price of the repair itself. Not having a paycheck, I'm looking at my paycheck, you know, and it says, how am I going to pay my bills? I have not failed on any of my bills.
Amen.
They've all been paid.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
My dad died, which, you know, you are going to miss him, but I know where he is.
Yes.
My brother's hand is being repaired, and he's supposed to be gaining full recovery of it.
Amen.
Amen.
So how much more does he care for us than the birds and the grass of the field?
Yes, yes.
He supplies every need, no matter how bad we think it is.
Yes.
And I just want to give him the praise and the glory for taking care of me.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good testimony. Thank you, Miss Sherry. Amen.
Wow.
We remember her going through all of that, and God is a very present help in a time of need. All right? And sometimes we say, well, how can we get through this? You know, how can we get through the things of life? We get through them one day at a time with one Jesus at a time. There's only one, all right? And he watches over us. And I love that scripture. As, you know, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago at my 50th anniversary of being saved. Matthew 6:33 has been the scripture that's really been my signature scripture. Mm-hmm. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And Sherry just gave us living proof of that works. We just trust him. Not every day is going to be a bright and shiny day, but remember that all sunshine makes a desert. Right? You need a little rain sometimes to get the flowers of the field growing. So thank you for a great testimony. Which, by the way, I wasn't going to tell you this, but I guess it's okay to tell you about it. I've been working on a new book, and I've been working on it for about 10 years. Oh, it's been it's kind of an autobiography in a lot of ways, and I speak quite a bit about some of the things that Pat and I went through and how God rescued us through those things. In fact, the name of the book, I think, is going to be Rescued from the River and Other Dangerous Places. I was rescued from the river and a lot of other places. So I've talked to the publisher, and we're working on, hopefully, we'll have it for Christmas. That's my plan. And it sounds like a long ways off, having published several books. That's not much time at all. So we're working on that, so you might keep that in the back of your mind. And I believe it'll be a, well, I know it'll be, so it's designed to be a work of encouragement. It speaks of how my background and where I came from as a poor Italian family, and God watched over us and blessed us and brought us to where we are today. So hopefully that'll be done in January. I'll let you know. For you, it'll be a special price. They're only $100 a copy. Everybody else, it'll be a lot cheaper. Well, I don't have any idea what it'll cost, but we'll find out. Talking about good things, we've been talking about heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but not today. And the reason I know that is if you started getting chest pains or started feeling bad, the first thing you're going to scream is, get the doctor, call 911. We want to live here as long as we can, and that's a good thing. Paul said that he wanted to depart, for depart would be gain for it. But he said to stay here is Christ, to do the work that he's called us to do. So we all want to be here to continue the work that we've done, so that when we've completed our work, the Lord will take us home and bring us to his heavenly home. So, Jim, are we up? Yeah, we are, okay. And the series is Living the Dream. So let's look at the scripture that we're using. We spoke about this last week. My little device here has a habit of falling apart. It wants to show me that it has power on the inside, a battery. Okay, here we go. Okay? Yeah, we got it. John 14, verses 1 through 3, the scripture that we're using for our series. Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. You know, you could live most of your life just with that one little verse, one little sentence. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, that's one translation, or mansions or dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. Heaven is a guarantee for eternity. It's an assurance in this life that we live on earth, and it's the hope for all mankind. Clouds and harps are not in your future. You know, that's if that's what you think heaven's going to be, that's going to be awful boring, all right? But there's a lot more to it than that. Heaven is a real place. It's not an imaginary place. It's not a state of being. It's a real place. Jesus said he went to prepare that place for us. There are a lot of words that are used to describe heaven. Heaven, paradise, Abraham's bosom, the New Jerusalem, a lot of words and metaphors and ideas to give us an idea of what heaven will be like. In our series last week, we spoke about what believers experience in heaven. And some of the topics we're going to cover are who will be in heaven, hopefully you. And you can be sure, if you believe in the Lord Jesus, that you'll be in heaven. Answer that, it might be for me. Take a message. What kind of body are we going to have in heaven? What are we going to be like? And what happens after the millennium? That's a big subject in itself. So today we're going to address the issue of what believers do in heaven. What believers do in heaven? Here are a couple of scriptures for you. One in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, and also in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 and 2, and I'm going to tie these together for us. However, as it is written, no eye is seen, no ear is heard, no mind is conceived what God has prepared for those that love him. Duh, I mean, we don't have a chance. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, and even the deep things of God. And then in Revelation 21, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. So there we see, we haven't conceived it. God has revealed it. What we know, God has revealed. And there's a new heaven and a new earth coming one of these days. So what I want us to do is understand what heaven is like. It's like putting a panda bear in the Smithsonian Art Museum. The first thing that bear will look for is a piece of cane to chew on, and no appreciation of the Mona Lisa or any other great works of art that would be there. So we kind of think with a panda bear mind today, you know, gee, what's it going to be like? What are we going to do? What's heaven going to be like? We're thinking about cane instead of talking about the glory of God. We're thinking about what we'll wear and what we'll do and what time will be like, and we have to change the way we think. One of the great explorers, Marco Polo, you read about him in school one time. Story I found about him. Marco Polo, the famous explorer, returned to Venice after his journeys in the Orient. His close friends thought he had gone mad, crazy, especially when Marco began to tell his friends about the things that he saw on his excursions. He told them of traveling to a city full of silver and gold. He had seen black stones that burned, but actually no one had ever seen coal before. They thought he was crazy. He had seen a cloth that refused to catch fire, but no one had ever heard of asbestos before. He talked about huge serpents 10 paces long with jaws wide enough to swallow a man, but no one had ever seen a crocodile before. He saw a nut as large as a man's head and full of delicious milk, and no one had ever seen a coconut before. He saw a substance spurting from the ground that actually set lamps on fire, but no one knew about crude oil. They just laughed at him. Years later, when Marco Polo was dying, a devout man was at his side and urged them to recant all the tales that he told. But Marco refused. Quote, it's all true, every bit of it. In fact, I have not told you the half of what I saw. I love that because I think it depicts us and the things that God has revealed to us. And when we tell these things that God has revealed about heaven, many times people just laugh at us. Have you lost your mind? No such place exists. Well, they don't know what we know, that God has prepared things for us that we have never thought about, never conceived. And in the book of Revelation, it's filled with imageries and creatures and events that I've heard people tell me, well, I never read the book of Revelation because it scares me. The book of Revelation was written to encourage us, not to scare us. We should be built up on our most holy faith. I remember when I was in seminary and I took a course on the book of Revelation. And at seminary, in the library, they've got these little cubby holes where you can go study. Most universities have them where, you know, you're kind of hidden away in a little spot where it's nice and quiet. And I was reading for my final exam and studying, and I was reading through the entire book. And I just started weeping with joy of all the great things that God has prepared for us. I didn't understand them all, and I don't need to understand them, but God has prepared things for us that we have no idea of. Now, there's the book of Revelation talks about judgment. I'm not here to teach the whole book of Revelation. There's a lot of bad things happen to the world, but those bad things are not meant for us. If we're washed in the blood, like we sang this morning, if we've been born again by the Spirit of God, those things are not in our future. The things that are in our future are the things we're talking about today, the things of heaven. So the church fathers, when they put together the book of Revelation, by the way, and I've mentioned this to you before, they were kind of like Marco Polo's friends. It was good, but they were a little, he said, well, I don't know if this is really in the Bible. And they put a blank page between the book of Jude and the book of Revelation. You know, several years later, they finally woke up to the truth that that is as much the scriptures as any other book in the scriptures. So they took the blank page out. Good for them. So we don't need to know everything in order to understand it. Most of you have no clue how an automobile works. You know, would you get it and drop it wherever you want to go? God knows that there's no way to figure this thing out. It's a mystery. But we all carry them around now. You know, we're like in the old West. You know, in the old West, you saw these movies. You know, all these guys come in with their pistols, and they sit down at the table, and they put their six shooters on the table. You know, you've seen pictures of that. We do the same thing with our phones now. You go out with somebody, what's everybody doing? Take their phone out and put it on the table. Just in case somebody wants us. We're so important, we can't wait an hour. But that's another story. So we don't need to understand things in order to appreciate their value. And that's the way it is about heaven and the things of heaven. So what will we be doing in heaven? What's God got in store for us? First of all, your old memories will be good. Your old memories will be good. Revelation 21, chapter 4. He will remove all their sorrow, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. For the old world and its evils are gone for how long? Forever! All right. I am looking forward to the day. I probably shouldn't say the word today. I'm looking forward to the event when death is thrown into the lake of fire. It's giving me so much pain, and so much pain to you, and the pain we've experienced when we lose people we love. I'm looking forward to death popping and crackling and sizzling in the lake of fire for all eternity. That'll be a happy day, all right? So with that, again, that's another sermon for another day. But I think you get the general idea. Genesis tells us that God created the heavens and the earth. The last book in the Bible describes a new heaven and a new earth, all right? Genesis describes paradise lost. Revelation describes paradise restored. We'll never forget the old story of Jesus and his love when we get to heaven. We'll never forget it. Somebody said the only man-made thing, only man-made things we'll see in heaven are the scars on Jesus' body. But it won't. Today, when we talk about Jesus, it's kind of mournful and sorrowful. We think about what he went through. But in heaven, it'll be a reminder of how we got there. And it'll be great joy for it's joy for Jesus. It says that for the joy set before him, Jesus despised the cross and endured the shame. What was the joy? You. You're the joy. He did it all for you. You know, somebody said if you were the only person on the planet, Jesus would have done it just for you. And he did. Just for you. You know, that's one of the things I think we've lost in Christendom. We've lost the appreciation of how much God really loves us as individuals. You know, we talk about, well, God loves the world, and that's great, but the world's too big for me to wrap my brain around. I can't, you know, that's, you know, something else. But to think that God loves you, that he loves me, that he loves us so much, that he sent his only begotten son. No, that you as an individual. Over and over again, we see that's written in the Bible that way, but we kind of lose track of it. I remember when Hurricane Betsy came through many years ago and happened to be get flooded out in that. I was taking refuge in a school that was in the neighborhood, and me and a lot of other people were trying to survive that. And my house was on the other side of the railroad tracks, which was like a levee, all right? And, you know, I knew people were getting flooded out, and we were trying to rescue people and doing all those kinds of things. I was a real young man at the time. But my house was safe on the other side of the tracks until somebody came from the other side of the tracks and told me it was flooded out too. It got personal then. You know, it was my house that was flooded. Well, in a good way, it's one thing to know that God loves the whole world, but it's a better way to know that your house is flooded with the blood. You know, that you're under the blood. You've been redeemed. You are saved, and the things of heaven are designed for you as an individual. You will be there. If you're born again, you better want to go to heaven because you're going. You know, whether you want to go or not, you can't change your mind. You might change your mind, but you'll never change the blood. You may think differently, but God never thinks differently. He will never change his mind. He came to forgive all your sins, past, present, and future. He redeemed you and gave you eternal life, not some kind of yo-yo life that appears and disappears and appears and disappears. You know, I'm saved today and lost tomorrow. I don't know where that foolishness came from. You are saved and born again for all eternity. You are given eternal life, not temporary life. And that life will take you all the way there. So we will never forget the old story of Jesus when we get to heaven. We will hear and understand the Word of God. What we know in part now, we'll know totally. Well, I thought about this. I said, well, I guess we'll have a Bible in heaven to read, and we'll understand it. And I thought about it. We won't need the Bible. We'll be with the Word himself. The Word that became flesh will be living, and we will know then, even as we are known now. You won't have to. I know it's kind of interesting to think about this. Well, we'll run up to Jesus and ask him all the questions, and he'll answer all the questions. And I understand that, but that's pander thinking. Remember I started off saying about a panda being in an art museum, wouldn't get it? You know, that's panda thinking. When we get there, we will know. We won't have to wonder about things. God will reveal to us the things that we're looking forward to today, and we'll understand it all. So, Jesus is the Word. He's the beginning and the end, and it'll be great. I thought about, well, heaven wouldn't be heaven if I didn't have my Bible. You know, I love the Bible. I love to read it. I love to have it, but I won't need it. You know, this old Bible is just and go the way of the world, and we'll face to face, we'll be with Jesus. What a day that'll be, huh? I'm telling you, to see him face to face, the one who saved me by his grace. What a day, wonderful day that'll be. So, I think the Bible and what we know about it will be kind of a tour guide book for heaven. You know, so if you need one, I guess one of the saints will give you one and say, here's a guide to heaven, and it'll be your Bible so you can find your way around. That's just one of my imaginations. Don't pay any attention to it. It's not in the Bible. I just said that. Okay. The prophets of old will be there.
Yes.
Now that's going to be fun. Yes. I'm looking forward to that. We'll get to see Isaiah. And I bet you Isaiah is still telling the story about the day he saw the Lord. Isaiah in chapter 6. He said, the day that King Uzziah died, and the year that he died, I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And he said he had cherubims there, and they had six wings, and they were flying around. I can just hear him now saying, man, this blew my mind. I mean, I just had no idea what was going on. A burning coal, skulls on an altar, and one of those angels started flying over to me. I thought I'd lose it. You know, I just couldn't believe it. But there he was. He flew to me. And he took one of those coals, and you think, what's he going to do now? And he touched my lips. And when he did, I knew that it made me cleanse. It cleansed me. It cleansed me. Because he told me that my guilt was gone and my sin had been forgiven. It's a picture of what Christ does for us. He suffered that we might be touched by him and be made whole. So I'm looking forward to that. We're running to Moses. I think Moses is going to say, man, you should have been there when Pharaoh was chasing us. Oh, my gosh. We were scared. We were running as hard and as fast as we could. Ran into the Red Sea. I thought, that's it. We're cooked. We're done. We're going back to the slave camp. And God opened the water right in front of us. And we walked through on dry land. And we got to the other side, and I turned around. And Pharaoh was following after us on dry land, but he didn't make it. The waters closed up and swallowed him up. I think you talk about Moses would love you to tell you that story. Talk about Joseph. We'll meet Joseph. He'll tell us about his rise to power, what his rotten brothers did to him. But he didn't hate his brothers for it. When he finally saw him, he said, what you intended for evil, God turned for good. So him and all his brothers will be there, and they'll be rejoicing and telling their stories. I'm telling you, that's some old things that'll be in heaven that'll give us great joy. We'll see them, and we'll meet them all. But you know one of the best parts about being in heaven? You can spend a lot of time meeting your friends and your loved ones who went on ahead of you. You know, the ones that are there. Well, how great that's going to be. You see your mom, dad, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, friends. I mean, that's going to be fun. It'll be a family reunion that'll never end. I'm an only child. Now, my mother and dad came from big families. I guess that's why I'm an only child. My dad had 13. My mother was one of nine. But I'm an only one. But I married a girl who's one of eight. So she took me to family reunions like I'd never been to. I mean, everybody's having fun and eating and telling stories. You know, remember when Aunt Mabel did this and Uncle John did this and the kids are playing and food. I mean, family reunions are a lot of fun. Can you imagine this family reunion? When we all get to heaven and we'll be at the banqueting table that God prepares before us and we'll be shouting and enjoying it for a long time. And you'll never get tired and have to go home. You'll never get tired and have to go home. You know why? You'll be home. That's where we're going. That's home. That's what God prepared for us. He said, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. We'll discover maybe a praying granddaddy, a praying grandmother from maybe 40 generations ago who prayed for you and you never knew it. You know, don't let this blow your theology, all right? But I believe that the prayers uttered by the saints that come into the hearing of God never diminish.
That's right.
I believe they're still there.
That's right.
And those prayers are still working for us. day and night. I believe that, all right? And I believe, you know, it says that our prayers are a sweet-smelling fragrance before the Lord. They're like an incense that burns forever and ever. So those prayers are still have an effect on your life today. I had a great-grandmother who, you know, I didn't know her that well. She was the old lady, you know, that would go visit occasionally. And she, most of the time, was in a rocking chair. His Grandma Peets was her name, all right? Her real name was Wilhelmina, her first name. She had a pet cat, used to sit on her bed, and she had a pet canary that was in a cage. Those two never got together. But great-grandma used to always be sitting in that rocking chair reading her Bible. And I know that that old lady prayed for me. And for all my cousins, you know, that we might come to the kingdom. Boy, I tell you, a whole flock of us made it. There's more to come. But I know I'll get to see her, and I'm looking forward to seeing her one day. I've got some old pictures of her, but they don't do her justice. They really don't. I know I'm digressing for a minute. But she used to keep her hair rolled up in a bun. It wasn't because she was Pentecostal. She just rolled her hair up in a bun. But I remember occasionally she'd have it down. I bet her hair went all the way down to her ankles. It was beautiful long hair she had. And she would roll it up, put it up there on the top, put a big old pin in it. I'm just a kid, but I remember that. So, but you'll meet some old folks that gone on before you, some old friends who served with us. When Pat and I first came in the kingdom, and we were in our 30s. I was in my 30s. She wasn't. She's a lot younger than me. I robbed the cradle. And when we went, we'd never been in churches, you know, Protestant churches. We hadn't been around that. So we didn't know all the songs, you know, that people sang. And I remember they were singing the old Rugged Cross. The first time I heard it, just took my breath away. I mean, we sing it now. It's just kind of a song. But back then when I heard it for the first time, I mean, it just really touched me. And they had another song he used to sing. It was called Precious Memories. Yes. And I heard him singing that song, and I went to see the pastor, and I said, "Brother Jordan, why do y'all sing that crummy song?" And he said, "What crummy song?" I said, "They're thinking about precious memories or something." And he said, "Oh," I said, "Brother Morris," he said, "one day you'll appreciate that song." I was too young in the Lord. My memories were all rotten memories from living in the world and getting saved. You know, I didn't have a whole lot of sweet memories that I knew at the time. But now, having served God for a lot of years, I think back on precious memories. There's a bunch of them. So we'll have our precious memories when we get to heaven. I believe there'll be laughter on the streets of God. Yes. You'll meet people laughing. There won't be any sourpusses. You know, some people, "How you doing?" "Oh, terrible. You know, my cat died, my dog died. You know, my champ," you know, they give you all the long story. You meet somebody and say, "How you doing?" "Man, I'm doing great. Woo! This place is wonderful, isn't it?" You know, just it'll be a sense of excitement and of joy. And I heard two old preachers when I first got in the kingdom, and they were having a conversation, and I was just eavesdropping on the conversation. And one of them was trying to outdo the other one with stories. And one of the guys asked the other guy, said, "Well, you know, we're going to get a new body when we go to heaven. Do you know why we need a new body?" And the other guy was finally stumped. He said, "Tell me why." He said, "Because your old heart couldn't stand it to be in the presence of God. It would just burst like a bubble. So you need a new heart so you can live in heaven." And I thought, that's pretty good. That's true, I believe, in many ways. We need a new body because your old body couldn't take it. Your old body couldn't. You can't walk into a nuclear reactor. You know, they tried Chernobyl and other places where they've had, Japan, where they've had this problem. People who are going in and try to clean up, they couldn't stay in there long at all. Like, you know, 30 seconds or so, they'd have to get them out. They put machinery in there, the machinery would burn up. Just think of God being a nuclear reactor for good, all right? You try to put this body we got in front of him, you'll fry and disappear. you'd be vaporized. But in your new body, you'd be able to stand and dance before the Lord. That's what's prepared for you. There'll be laughter. There'll be rejoicing. We'll be sharing our treasures. You know, one of the things that gives me joy, and hopefully it gives you joy too, is when somebody gets something new and shiny. You know, to get a new car, to get a new ring, to get a new shirt. I was talking to Evans this morning about his pretty new shirt, and he wanted to know if I liked it, if he ought to keep it. I said, "That shirt looks good to you. I like it." And I said, "Let me see what it feels like." And I touched it. What's real? You can touch his sleeve, but you can't touch it. It's a really nice shirt. Well, heaven's going to be like that. All the treasures in heaven will be shown. Look what I got up here. I didn't even know it was here. You know? Well, store up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither rust nor moth or thieves can get to it. And so all those treasures in heaven, I believe we'll be showing them off. Showing people what we got. And there won't be any jealousy involved in it. So I say, "Oh, gee, I wish I had that." You'll be so happy with what you've got. And it'll give you great joy to see what other people have gained in heaven. I think that'll take us about 1 billion years. You know, just being there, we'll be seeing each other without the effects of sin. You know, I love you, but from a world perspective, we're looking worse every day. I mean, this place is eating us up, you know. It's wrinkling it up. It's wearing us down, you know. These bodies have been affected with sin. We've been... use my illustration, if an atomic reactor has this radiation that'll hurt us, that's the way sin is. It hurts our bodies. We've never seen each other the way God sees us with our glorified bodies. When God looks at us, he doesn't see this physical body. He sees the redeemed innermost being of you that Jesus created within us. That new creation. He sees that. Now, we can't see that. We can see some of the effects of it, you know, the way we act and the way we talk. But one day we'll see each other as God sees us. Boy, what a day that's going to be. You know, one of the things, and I believe I've got some theology backing me up, that when you get to heaven, you'll be eternally young. I think you'll be in your prime. In fact, somebody shared a testimony about that just a couple of weeks ago. Was that you?
I did.
Yeah, I knew there was somebody sharing it.
I found some. He's 31 years old now.
He's 31.
Yes.
And my dad's younger than your dad. He's only 28. But, you know, I've got some old pictures of my mom and dad. They're only about postage size big, you know, maybe about 2 inches by 1.5 inches. And it's when my mother was probably 16 and my dad was probably, you know, maybe 25. And I blew them up, and they're about the size of an 8x10 now. And I got them framed, and I keep them where I get dressed. They're there, I see them every day. And they're eternally young. That's the way I think of them. Not old and worn down and sickness and all the things that happened to them before they died, but eternally young. And that's the way we'll be. If people will see us that way, we'll see each other that way, without the effects of sin. There'll be no sorrowful memories of those who didn't make it. I believe God will erase that away from us. So you won't be worried about somebody who didn't make it. You'll be rejoicing in those who did. And I believe God will erase our memories from that. You say, "Well, how can God do that? How could God erase a memory?" I won't ask for a show of hands, but most of us have had surgery of some kind. You know, we've been under the doctor's knife, and, you know, I remember when I was just a boy, and they took my tonsils out, and they used to use ether. And they put a mask on you, and they drip that ether on you. That stuff would kill you. You know, but that's the way they did it. But you wake up, and it's all over. And you have no memory of what took place. You know, look, if people, man, have figured out how to erase your memory through hard times, you think God can't erase your memory about the hard times in this earth? You won't remember this. You won't remember the hard times. You'll only remember the good times. So it'll be like a surgery memory loss for the old things. So don't be worried now about, "Well, what if we get to heaven and my brother didn't make it or my sister or someone didn't make it?" It won't be. That memory will be gone, all right? It'll be a whole new place. This is good stuff, by the way. The second thing is your new experiences will be memorable. your new experiences will be memorable. Revelation 21, verses 5 through 7. And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making all things new." And then he said to me, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true." And he also said, "It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give the springs of water of life without charge. And all who are victorious will inherit all these blessings. And I will be their God, and they will be my children." Oh, my goodness. I know those of us who have children, we love our kids, right? Yeah, we like to send them to heaven sometimes. But, you know, the reward for not killing your kids is grandkids. It's just the way it is. But we love our children with an eternal love. You know, how many times have you seen this? Some guy robbed a bank, you know, or did some heinous crime, and, you know, and they get his mother on TV, and they ask, and they put the microphone in front of her, "Well, what do you think about what your son did?" "He's a good boy." You know, he's a good boy. Well, the police may not think so, but mothers think they are. Well, that love of God that we have, he loves us as children. He cares for us. He nurtures us. He feeds us. He helps us grow. He keeps us on the straight and narrow. And all of that pays off in the heavenly realm. The real invention of heaven begins when we start exploring those areas that we never experienced on earth. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for us. With our earthly mind, we can't conceive it all. We can talk about it like we're doing today, and I know your spirits are getting, you know, riled up. I mean, you hear it, and you inside of you, you know that this is true, but you haven't actually seen it. Pat and I were going to on a business trip that I had with the company I was with in Alaska. And we landed in Fairbanks. And Fairbanks is kind of towards the middle of the state. And we had to drive south to where this hotel was that I was going to put a computer system in. And everybody, before we got there, the people who would work up there, said, "Boy, where do you see Mount McKinley?" Of course, the people in Alaska don't call it McKinley. It's Denali. It's not Denali the way we say it. It's Denali. So we were driving, and it's about a 200-mile trip down to Denali from Fairbanks, where we were. So, hey, that was good. Y'all were paying attention. And boy, Pat and I saw this humongous mountain. It was off to the right. We said, "Holy Christmas, that's it! That's bigger than I imagined. That was amazing." So we were rejoicing that we had seen the big mountain that everybody was talking about. So we drove down another 50 miles, and there it was. That other thing was a foothill. There it was. I mean, it just filled the horizon. I mean, almost made your knees weak just to see it. It's so magnificent. I said, "Gee." And we drove down, and then we finally saw it. What we saw before wasn't it at all. When we saw the real thing, and everybody had told us that, when you see it, you'll know it. And when we saw it, we knew it. It is that magnificent. It's the highest mountain peak in this part of the world. And what makes it look so big, if you was to see Everest, Everest has a lot of big mountains around it. Denali stands off by itself, and it is absolutely breathtaking. That's the reality of heaven. We're looking at foothills. You know, we're looking at things we think we got it. We ain't seen nothing yet compared to what God has prepared for us. Now, the real adventure is, Paul said we'll have a body just like Jesus. We don't know a whole lot about this glorified body, but there's some clues, and we see it in Jesus. Jesus let people touch him. So you're not going to be some kind of dismembered spirit just kind of bouncing around in the clouds, looking like a cloud. No, you're going to have a body that's touchable. It'll be a glorified body. You know, one of the things we like to do around here is we like to shake hands and hug and, you know, just touch one another. Well, how much fun is going to be, Pat, to hug you when you got your glorified body? Woo! That's going to be amazing. To touch somebody. I bet you'll give you an electric shock. You know, just the glory of God will just radiate between the two. You'll probably stay there for a billion years just doing that. You know, just touching people you love. You know, so we know it's a real body. I don't know why that's not taught more often, but it doesn't seem to be. It's a real body. Now, you'll be able to remember things. Jesus in his glorified body remembered where to go. He remembered to go see his buddies. He remembered their names. He knew what they liked. So our memory will still be there. Our good memory. When, Camille, you will remember me. Yeah, but you might not recognize me because I'll have two arms. So you've never seen me with two arms. All right? But in fact, some of you will never recognize me because you'll never see me with hair. But I'll have hair again, all right? It'll be glorified hair. Probably be shiny white because of the glory. I don't know. I just said that. But we'll be remember those things that we knew. Jesus could walk. He walked down the road and he met those guys who rode to Emmaus. He could talk. People could understand him. He could eat. What would heaven be like if you couldn't get a good meal, all right? I don't know. You know, those guys ate manna, just one delicacy from the table, and it fed them for 40 years in the desert. So who knows what God's got in store? I mean, I don't think we'll be... A banqueting table. I know you're looking forward to chocolate. I don't. That's just me again, all right? But I don't think we'll be eating any steak. Because in order to eat steak, something's going to have to die, you know? Those cows you like, they don't come packaged with a price tag on them. They're actually four-footed things that move around, all right? So I don't think we'll have any steak. We'll probably have something a lot better than steak. Just my guess, okay? So we'll be able to appear and disappear at will. Jesus just showed up and disappeared. So we'll be able to do the same thing. You could be talking to somebody and just get an urge. You'll talk to Moses and you'll be there. And also you'll have... Now, when I say stuff like that, it's hard to conceive it, isn't it? I mean, you can't think of that. If you want to go to Alaska and see Denali, you got a long trip ahead of you, all right? And a lot of money. We just went to Portugal to visit my son-in-law's parents, and it's a long trip, wore me out. I mean, we had to fly to New York, get another plane, fly across the ocean and get there, get in a car, drive for a couple hours. It was a big deal. When I got there, I was huffing and puffing. I mean, it's a long trip. But in your glorified body, you'll be there. Wherever you want to be. Jesus went through, he didn't go through a door, he just appeared in a room. All right? So that's what one of the things that you'll have when you get to heaven. It'll be a new way of living, not constrained by time or place. By the way, what time is it? We're always looking at time, aren't we? That's why we carry our watches around with us, we carry iPhones, you know, you can even ask it, hey, I got to be careful because my phone will answer me. Hey, Mabel, what time is it? You know, I didn't want to use her name because she wakes up when you use her name. So, you know, we're concerned about time. One of the things that God created that is beyond our ability to comprehend is he created time. This is why we always ask the question, well, where did God begin? He didn't begin. He is.
Amen.
He said it this way. Sounds like bad English. He said, I am. You know? So the concept of time, that's what we think about eternity. Gee, don't you think we'll get bored up there? No, it's going to be a long time. Eternity is a long time. I have a short attention span. You know, I get tired pretty quick of doing stuff. I got tired of looking at Mount Pinelli. I mean, how much can you look at it? I mean, but there won't be any concept of time. Now, you don't understand that today, neither do I, but that's the facts, Jack, as they say. Okay? Everything you see and want will be good for you, even chocolate.
Amen.
It'll be good for you. Not good for you now, but it'll be good for you then. Everything you see and want will be good for you. There'll be no more a lust of the flesh and lust of the eye. Everything will be good. What you see will be good. We've never lived in a place where there's not tainted with evil, but in heaven, everything will be good. That's God's plan for you. You'll never look at something and say, have to dart your eyes away because it's not a good thing for you to see. And there, everything you see and want will be good for you. We'll finally defund the police. There won't be any police. You won't need police. We need police today. We won't need any police up there. Why? Because there's nobody doing anything bad. There won't be any bad people. You know, sometimes you go off someplace at night, you get in a bad neighborhood, you know, get worried about where you are, what's going to happen to you. You'll never have that. Every place you go will be safe. And you'll have a sense of well-being about it. There'll be no, you won't hear any news report, well, some kid got killed on a motorcycle. Just talked to a man this past week. He's had a beautiful young daughter, 27 years old. Got a little moped, and for the first time in her life, she ever drove, got on one, and drove just a short distance from a party they were at, and she hit a tree, fell off of it, something, and died. No, you won't hear that. Won't be any bad news. All the news will be good news in heaven. All the news will be good news in heaven. So everyone will be trustworthy. You can't trust everybody today. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people who are full of deception. You just ran into that, Miss Rose. That guy who called you on the phone and tried to get you information from you, you know. The guy was deceptive, not trustworthy. But in heaven, everyone will be trustworthy. Now, this is one of my favorites. There'll be no government to worry about. Woo! Hey, man, I won't have to worry about voting for anybody. You know, the government will be a theocracy.
That's right.
It'll be God's in control and no questioning his decisions. In fact, it's true today, he's in control, but he lets man on earth do some things that are causing us a lot of problems. But there'll be no elections. You don't have to worry about annually going to vote. You know, and vote for God. You know, give him a, you know, well, I'll just vote for God today. Well, there won't be anybody else running. You know, he's the one who'll be in charge. So we will reign with him. Now, I've got to admit to you that I don't understand what I just said, but I believe it. We'll reign with him in the heavenly realm. I'm just going to let that go. It's just true. I don't understand it. So if I don't understand it, I'm not going to preach about it. Maybe one day God will give me the revelation. You probably know more than I do about it. But one thing about, you know, today in the book of Romans chapter 13, it talks about what one of the things that government does. Government is there to reward good and to punish evil. Well, God's government won't have any evil to punish, so it'll be all rewards. So God will catch you doing something good. Oh, here's another treasure for you. Here's a little bit more to make you happy. Here's another 20-carat diamond if you want it, or whatever you need. Okay? So it'll only be good. As I said, there'll be no sense of time, of loss of time. You won't lose time. How many times say, oh, man, gee, I lost. You know, I wasted a whole day. There'll be no such thing as a wasted day. Or it's just not enough time. I need a longer day. That concept won't be there. And you'll never be late again. I didn't mean to look at Pat. Let me look over. You know, you'll never be late again. I used to complain about Pat being late until she explained why she's late. She says she has, when she's getting ready, she has to slow down for the curves. Yeah, think about it. Some of you will think about that later. You don't understand that. We'll be living in the New Jerusalem. I have not had the pleasure of going to the Holy Land. Some of you may have done that. I haven't done it yet. I may do it, but I just haven't done it yet. We'll go to the New Jerusalem. It'll be a city of God, a place where He lives and He's available all the time. We'll see Him in all of His glory. We'll see God in all of His glory. Moses had to get hidden in a rock. The boys, when the transfiguration of Jesus, just got a glimpse of it. But one day, we'll see Him as He is. What a, I mean, that'll probably keep us busy for a couple of trillion years. Just seeing Him. Have a look at the face of a baby and the thrill it gives you. I mean, you mamas, you can look at that face forever. That beautiful little innocent face. Can you imagine looking at the face of God? All the love radiating out of Him. All the love that radiates between a baby and a mama. All the love that radiates between God and you will be so magnificent. And, Danny, we won't be saying God loves me more than He loves you. With that conversation won't happen. We'll know that He loves me more than He loves you. We'll know that He loves us the same. Won't be any jealousy in heaven. You know, it's going to be a marvelous, marvelous thing. Everything your eyes see will be new, and everything your eyes see will be good, and everything you see will be holy. That's what's in store for us. What will we be doing? We'll just be enjoying all I just told you about. And to think of it in a time frame, well, you know, it's going to be eternity is time. When you get there, you'll understand there's no such thing as time. We'll have our new bodies. There'll be new stars to look at. You know, I've said several times, I'm kind of enamored with the Hubble telescope. And now the new James Webb telescope is blowing my mind. I love to go and look at those pictures. In fact, this background on this overhead are pictures from the new telescope. They're looking at things that we've never seen before. A telescope is so good. Well, just my opinion, I think God's still creating the universe. They're looking to get to the edge of it to see it. They'll never do it. It's always being created. But one day it's all going to disappear and there'll be new heavens and a new earth. Amen. These look pretty good. Can't wait to see the new ones. They'll really be sparkly and pretty and beautiful to watch. So, we'll finally have a new way of thinking. So, in closing, we're going to experiences will be memorable. Come on. What's the matter with my thing here? Oh, I see what the problem is. It's me. I'm holding this the wrong way. I'm going the wrong way. There we go. There we go. Old memories will be good. New experiences will be memorable. The best I can tell you from what I've studied and looked and read, there'll be so many things to do, it will take an eternity just to experience them.
Yes.
Just to experience them. We'll never be bored. The old and the new will blend together in a crescendo of happiness that we've just never experienced on this earth. We might find a lot of good things to do, but we'll first have to grow tired of seeing God and worshiping Him. When we get tired of that, then we can go see some new things. We just don't get it here, but it is going to be amazing. So next week, God willing, I went back up here. We'll talk about when do believers go to heaven? Well, you probably think you know the answer to that question, but why don't you come back next week and see what I have to say about it, and we'll go into some more depth about that. So I hope this has inspired you and maybe encouraged you. Maybe this world's been beating you up lately, you know, Sherry saying all the stuff that goes on sometimes. But we need to turn our eyes upon Jesus. All right? Don't be looking at this world and the things that we daily go through. It's not that they aren't important in our lives, but they're minuscule compared to the glory that God has prepared for those that love Him, that are called according to His purposes. If you're here today and you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's got wonderful things in store for you. Amen?
Amen.
Let's all stand. Yes, sir.
I have a special request that Janine's mom would call earlier this morning. Her name is Kay Murray, and they took her to ER. She was shortness of breath and could barely breathe. And I requested that you pray for her.
Okay, good. We'll do that. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for Janine's mother, Lord. She's a wonderful lady. And Father, ask you to let her breathing be well, her heart be in rhythm, her strength returned, restored to her family. Lord Jesus, and be with Janine and all of her family members, that they'll be encouraged. We pray in faith, Father, believing all the things we just talked about you, Lord. Certainly, you can touch this lady's body and make her whole. So we speak words of faith from here to there that you will touch her. And Lord, I ask you to let this things that we spoke about today, trying to use the, as I said, a panda brain, I understand it all, Lord. We don't get it all. But we know that you understand, and we are in you, Lord. We've been grafted in to your promises, and we're heirs with Christ, joint heirs with him. And Father, we pray that these thoughts will be revealed to us in greater way today and tomorrow and for as long as we live on this planet, that our vision of you and our understanding of you will grow day by day. Keep us safe. Watch over us this coming week. If you tarry and don't bring us home, let us have the best week we've had in a very long, long time. Give us health, joy, visions of you. Let us be productive in the kingdom, introducing people to you, Father, so that next week we'll say, man, this has been the best week I've ever had. All to your glory and all to your honor. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen and amen. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. You could, but Miss Rose wants to tell us something, if you want to have your attention for a minute.
Thank you. Hello. I want to talk about what happened to my brother Joe. 3 or 4 days last week, every time he had to go to the bathroom, it was always